Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to episode 2. I'm your host, Andrea Larson, and today we'll be discussing various herbs for their application in first aid. To build an herbal first aid kit, you want to make sure you've got something on hand for your common wounds caused by accidents, like burns, cuts, bruises, stings, strains, and so forth. The herbs we'll be talking about today have many, many uses beyond first aid, but those herbs are not used for, you know, one thing only, but our focus today will be on the first aid application of those herbs. So let's start with cuts, because that's probably the most severe thing that we'll be dealing with, cuts and burns. So when dealing with first aid, there are two classes of herbs that will make up the majority of your kit, and those are hemostatics, which are used to inhibit bleeding, and astringents, which dry and tighten tissues. Now, not all hemostatics are astringent, but all astringents have hemostatic action, if that makes sense. So basically, all astringents, whatever herb you're using, if it has astringent properties, it'll be able to stop or slow bleeding, but not all hemostatics work by astringent mechanisms. So there are some herbs that can be used to stop bleeding which do not contain tannins and are not astringent. In Chinese medicine and Ayurveda, bleeding is considered an issue of heated blood. Thus, many hemostatics are cooling in energy. In Western herbalism, bleeding is considered a kind of blood congestion. Therefore, circulatory stimulants like cayenne can be used. So keeping a little spice shaker of cayenne powder in your first aid kit can be a really great thing to do in case you get a bleeding wound. You can just sprinkle it on there. I know it sounds completely counterintuitive to put something very spicy on an open wound, but it does do some miraculous things for stopping the bleeding. So in the art of herbalism, the art of herbalism does offer varying strategies, and all we need to know is that at any given time there are dozens and dozens of plants surrounding us that can help us through for whatever we're dealing with by one mechanism or one principle or another. So there are no one size fits all as far as herbal medicine goes. There are many, many different theories that can be taken into account and many different reasons that certain herbs work for various conditions. So hemostatics, in talking about hemostatics, it's important to consider giving a tonic to support the body's energy if you've lost significant blood. So if you've been bleeding a lot, you're going to be depleted. That vital energy that circulates through our body is going to be depleted. So giving things like, for the immune support, astragalus or ginseng for energy or various nourishing tonics is going to be an important secondary approach to helping the body overcome that trauma. So some other really great hemostatics that we want to talk about that can be on hand whether you're in the forest or the garden, or you can have them prepared as tinctures and things sometimes as well, are shepherd's purse. And so shepherd's purse is a really, really great emergency stopping bleeding plant. It's used a lot for venous blood, so that very dark, oozing kind of blood, versus yarrow for that bright red, spurting, very deep arterial wound. Often these herbs, if you don't have them prepared, you can just pick the plant out of the wild, chew it up, and put it on as a spit poultice right on your wound. Another great herb that you can find around this time of year is cattail pollen. So you can take the pollen and bang it out and just put that straight onto a wound to stop bleeding. Or if you've got some sort of sores blistery, yucky skin things going on, you can mix it with honey and apply it as a poultice that way. I really like using honey, and when I say honey, I mean raw honey, which has its very antibacterial properties still intact, or Manuka honey. Those types of honeys are really great for mixing with other herbs or powdered herbs to use as a poultice, but even honey on its own is incredibly healing, soothing, and antimicrobial, and can be used as a remedy for burns and cuts and scrapes and all sorts of skin issues and wounds just on its own. So our other class of herb that we're going to talk about today are astringents, and this is where the majority of these astringents are also hemostatic, but we've got ladies' mantle, and ladies' mantle is one of my favorites for any any tissue that's involving a lot of membrane. So even for a ruptured eardrum, I haven't had any personal experience with this yet, but the literature does say that if you have a ruptured eardrum, that lady's mantle is the herb to try for that one. It has special properties around fluid and salt balance, so it's very good for helping new cells have a lot of cohesion with each other and really speed healing of wounds. So you can use the leaves, mash them up, chew them up, and put them on wounds, and it will really help curb any bleeding or oozing of and seeping of any bodily fluids that you don't want leaving the body. Let's see what else we've got here to talk about today. So astringents, they function as vulneraries to promote wound healing in general. So there are many, many different astringents that you can use, and their main active constituent is tannin, which is a coagulant. And so anything that you taste that tanniny, almost, you know, we use tannins to tan hides. So when you can taste it on your tongue, it's like that that puckering, drying feeling that you get when it hits your tongue, and that shows that there are tannins in there. So if anyone has ever tried a bark tea of witch hazel or oak, or those very tannin-rich teas, they are some of your first go-tos to dry up any oozing tissue that you need to be tightened up. So some of those can be, of course, witch hazel, and witch hazel is one of my favorites for swellings and sprains or any contusions of the skin. And my grandmother always had it camping. She would even put it on bug bites for us. Oak bark is another one. Oak bark can be even used for hemorrhoids, but it's also very good for any broken capillaries. So any bruising, of course, but also varicose veins or other like spider veins and things that if you're trying to promote vascular health, you can apply that topically, or you can make a really strong tea or infusion and bathe in it that way as well. Of course, you've got yarrow. We mentioned yarrow for very deep cuts that have that bright red blood. And yarrow, because it's so important as a fever herb, should always be remembered if any bleeding causes a fever. So if you have an injury and then it gets infected and you're dealing with a fever, definitely consider using yarrow. Other first aid herbs that are very commonly found in gardens or around are calendula flowers, and those are really awesome for any really swollen red pussing wounds that are tender and kind of like a cat scratch. And calendula has a very special property of being something called a bacteriostatic. So it doesn't necessarily kill the bacteria, but it surrounds them and engulfs them and sort of protects your body from being invaded by any bacteria that we don't want to get into a wound. St. John's wort is another really amazing wound herb. That one is just about to start flowering. I have a few in my property that are just opening up. It typically flowers on midsummer solstice or St. John's Day, and that's why we call it St. John's wort. And St. John's wort is amazing for burns in all degrees and any pain that involves nerve endings. So if there's a lot of nerve damage or there's shooting pains, then definitely think of St. John's wort. And again, you can, you know, use a tincture of St. John's wort, or you can use an infused oil of St. John's wort, or if you are around the actual plant, you can take it, mash it up, and add it as a poultice to the wound. Plantain is one of my favorites for drawing anything out that shouldn't be there. So it's very drying as well, but if you've got a bug bite or a splinter or some sort of a bee sting, you can take the plantain and you can use the narrow leaf or the broad leaf, and you can mash up those leaves, chew up those leaves, and put that right onto the sting or the blister or anything you've got, and it will help draw out any infection or dirt or you know, venom or anything that's in there that you don't want to be. It's also very good for anything that's got some nerve damage as well. So plantain is a topical first aid plant. It's almost everywhere that you could possibly go. It's, you know, really commonly found in pathways and roadsides. So plantain is one that's at our fingertips for pretty much anything that we can have happen. Elder leaves. If you've got some elder on your property, some black elder, some blue elder, you can, or other types of elder as well, you can use the leaves for bruises and wounds. So if you've got a really swollen, blue, blacky, yucky bruise that's got a lot of stagnant fluid and damage in there, you can use elder as a poultice, but also you can make an oil from elder leaves, and then you can apply that as well. Some other things that might happen, of course, are, we mentioned some sprains or strains, or, you know, you twist your ankle. And my favorite herbs for dealing with ligaments and, you know, even sometimes bones are teasel root, Solomon's seal root, and comfrey. And those three together are really amazing for any injured joints. Matthew Wood calls Solomon's seal the single most reliable and foolproof remedy that he's ever come across. And I've had a lot of success using it for everything from trigger finger to plantar fasciitis, to all sorts of, my partner, when he got tennis elbow from working, he's a carpenter and he has to do a lot of repetitive banging with his hammer. And that one really is amazing for injured ligaments and all sorts of joint and muscle problems. It's also very beautiful to grow as a shade plant in your garden. What else haven't we touched on yet? Burns. We did talk about honey for burns, but we've also got nettle. Nettle can be used for burns. So can bee balm, or Monarda fistulosa is its botanical name. And those two, again, can just be mashed up and applied as a poultice. And let's see, what else? We've got vervain. If you've got any blue vervain or vervain, that's another really good wound herb that you can apply. Other herbs that grow wildly are self-heal or heal-all, and those can be used as a poultice as well. And any of the, we mentioned, of course, that we could use witch hazel or oak, but if you come across some willow or some other barks that are really rich in tannins, you can use those as well. And then the last thing that I would definitely recommend to have in a first aid kit is a couple essential oils. And for me, my go-tos are usually true lavender, which comes from the Lavendula angustifolia, and helichrysum oil. Those ones, because they keep for such a long time and they're easy to pocket with you and bring places, are useful so for so many different things that it's worth having them on hand. They take up very little space and they last a long, long time. All right, well, that is what I have today for first aid herbs. I'm not seeing any live callers, so if anyone does have any questions watching the replay or listening to the replay, then definitely ask online or comment below, and I will get those questions answered for you. I hope this was helpful for everyone today to consider herbs that you can use in your first aid kit. It's good to ID some of those herbs and know what's around you when you're camping or hiking, but also just, you know, it, working in the garden. If you get a sliver or a bee sting, I don't know how many times one of my children has come to me with a bee sting and been, like, you know, hysterically crying, and all I have to do is chew up a bit of plantain and put it on it, and within seconds they're calm and the pain starts to subside, and it really helps them recover really, really quickly. Well, have a wonderful rest of the day, everyone, and thanks for listening. I'm Andrea Larson, and hope to hear from you next week. Bye now.